Welcome to the Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. Joy Harjo is an award-winning poet and author who served three terms as the U.S. Poet Laureate. She is author of 10 books of poetry, several plays, children's books, and two memoirs. She is a chancellor of the Academy of American Poets, honorary past chair of the Native Arts and Cultures Foundation, and is the inaugural artist in residence for the Bob Dylan Center, that opened in 2022 in Harjo's hometown of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Harjo's poems are described as musical, intimate, political, and wise, intertwining ancestral memory and tribal histories with resilience and love. Her latest book is absolutely gorgeous, Washing My Mother's Body, A Ceremony for Grief, which explores the complexity of a daughter's grief as she reflects on the joys and sorrows of her mother's life. It is a great honor to welcome Joy Harjo to this week's book show. Thank you very much for being with us. What a delight to have you on the program.
Well, it's good to be here.
I'm curious as to, at the point where you were when you wrote this poem, this particular poem.
Yes, I was working on a book that became An American Sunrise, and the book was not focused on my mother or her side of the family. It had to do with removal of the Muscogee people, my father's family, from the Southeast. And we were living in, I was living in Knoxville, Tennessee then, and teaching there, and was going to all these sites, even sites where family had lived, and writing and, you know, researching, you know, history, family history, and so on. In the middle of all of it, here came this poem. You know, sometimes they're like that. Sometimes you dig around and find them, but this poem just kind of, I had to almost run to catch up with it. It was a little longer than it was. I probably cut out another page or two. And I realized that it came, you know, I didn't get to wash my mother's body. I wanted to, but after she had passed and I was with her with my sister and my niece, suddenly I'm in there with her body and my sister has called the funeral home. And the next thing I know, there's these strange men standing in the house to get her body. And I wanted to wash her body. And it could have turned into a big conflict, but at those moments of transformation, like death, birth, marriage, falling in love, you know, all of those big transformative moments are very tender. And I didn't want anything. I wanted to keep that space clear. So I let her go. But so years later, I guess what the poetry taught me, I mean, it was probably about 10 years later, here comes this poem. And what the poems teach me, often teach me, and this one taught me, well, if you can't wash your body in person, you can wash it in a poem. And I think that works too, if you've left words undone with somebody, either living or gone, you can write in a poem or a letter or a note. I'm convinced you can still talk with them, still talk with their spirit.
When it comes to the washing of the body and that ceremony for grief, talk a little bit about the culture of that.
It's present in a lot of cultures. It's a way to honor the life. And because it's more ceremonial than, you know, hardcore, you know, hardcore wash, but it's ceremonial. I got to do that with my daughter, something I never thought I would have to do a few years ago with her children. And it was so sad and overwhelming and beautiful. And it was ceremonial in that sense. As we washed her body, we told her how much we loved her and just, we needed it. And I'm sure that the spirit also needed that.
You spoke a moment ago of this poem coming out and you having to run to catch up with it. What were the elements that were there that you had to corral? The fact that of every story and of then as it comes, do you realize what you have? I mean, once it comes and you know it's there, that you're able, as I said, to corral it, but you're able to then do the work that you want to do.
Yeah, that's sort of how it is. I have one poem, it's called How to Write a Poem in a Time of War in that collection. And it surprised me at the end because I discovered something that happened that I didn't know had happened. And that's what I like about writing too, because you're in that space and things will come to you. And you bring up a good point here, is that I think a lot of people think poets, I mean, and maybe it sounds like it here, that you get this idea or something, inspired, and here it comes. Well, there's an element to that sometimes, not always, but then you take it and you craft it. There's a lot of crafting that goes on. Like I said, it was longer. If you were to look at the original version, and I don't have it right here, the original version and that poem, it'll be similar, but like I said, there's several things cut out, I rearranged, I listen. It's a, poetry is a sound art. It's like music, writing music. So that takes a while, and sometimes that takes a while, of listening, letting it sit, and looking at it again. Yeah, there's a lot of crafting. I mean, you can watch somebody carve something, and you'll see a blockish something, and then something starts emerging out of it. And writing can be a lot like that, very similar. Like, here's the raw stuff, here it all is, and then you start carving away.
It was more than a decade after your mother passed, and as the poem came to you and it started to unfold, did you realize that you were still holding on to such grief?
I did when I wrote the poem, after I got the poem written. And the thing I've learned is, in a way, it doesn't end. It just reappears in another way. I was surprised to start a new book of poetry. I had just saw my editor in New York, and because I have another book out this month too, and she reminded me I have a book of poetry coming. And I thought about it, and then I was reading her book. She gave me a galley proof of her book that's coming out. It's wonderful, called The End is the Beginning, a personal history of my mother. So here we're tapping into that. And then it's like my daughter grief. The daughter grief is another whole, a child grief is another whole terrible territory. The mother grief is rugged, but losing a child. Do I want to write about that at all? Because it's the thing you learn about grief is that it changes shape, and you'll be going along, and then it's just something small, and then you're sobbing, but sobbing quietly so no one can hear you on an airplane or in a bathroom at an airport or in your room or up in the middle of the night. I guess the way I've always dealt with things is I write or I create music, art, whatever it is. It becomes a way to transform it, because you can't contain it. There's no way to contain it.
Joy Harjo is our guest. The new book, Washing My Mother's Body, A Ceremony for Grief. You write in the introduction, poetry is a tool for the investigation of mystery, for finding words when there are no words. It seems just in what you have talked to us about that you're patient. You'll let those words come when they're ready to come.
I guess so. If it took me from 2011 until I forget, what year I wrote that poem, and then the book just came out. I mean, sometimes you have to be. You can't really force them. It's obvious when you force them, I think.
And as far as the idea of you were talking about and exploring the grief of losing your mother and then the grief as a mother of losing a child, as you write about your daughter, do you tap into your experiences as a daughter and that idea of being with your mother as she passed?
I think it's, I'm sure, although they're just such different experiences. I mean, even though there's definitely a connection, the mother-daughter link, and I started writing this book, and it's always there, because there's that, kinetic. It is kinetic. It's a living link that goes through mother-daughter, grandparent, grandchild, or so on. It is a living kind of link. So it's there, but it's connected, but the territory, even as it's connected, feels very different to me.
For this particular book, the idea of adding the art, how did that come to be?
Yes, I got the idea. I thought, people, when I've performed it and read that poem, the audience really responds to it. People really respond to it and they need it. They say they needed it. So I decided to do a book, and I'd wanted to work with the Muskogee artist, and we've learned that we're cousins. Ultimately, we're probably all cousins in the world, but I learned that she's a cousin. But she's one of our best artists, and I've watched her art evolve. I've known her probably since the 80s. Her art's evolved through the years, and I'd always wanted to I do books and albums of music and one thing or the other that require covers, and she did a cover for one of my albums, but I'd always wanted her to involve her in a project. And when this came up, I tagged her on this. She was there for her mother, was very close to her mother as I was. She was in for doing this. And what's so wonderful and unusual, and I love her statement too. I love her artist statement at the end. But how she did it often, and I've done two children's books. I have another one coming out next year. And usually there's an illustrator, and the illustrator reads the text and does, images for each page. She did, and this is Dana, she's very creative and inventive. She did a large painting. She did a large painting that included medicine plants for our people, which tie into healing, and includes images of my mother, her mother, my daughter, her grandson. I mean, she's put everybody in here, and if you know and you look closely, you'll know who they are if you know the family, and has referenced also the book. So it's art by, and if you re read it, it says, it's by me, and then art by, not illustrations by, because it's really her art that is the images, pieces are taken from the large painting to illustrate the poem.
It makes for such a memorable experience because it is your words, of course, but that accompaniment is gorgeous. It does bring it to a different and even I would say a deeper level.
Yeah, she says here in her artist statement, "In my painting, the plants of medicine, prayer, and food float amidst the four directions. The evening star shines between two oaks and a hickory that turns into a cedar, leading to the doorway of a circle where we give thanks for the love shared, for all we've been given and survived, and where we pray for the future." That's just beautiful.
Joy Harjo is our guest. The new book is Washing My Mother's Body, A Ceremony for Grief. As you look back and you read the poem again, as you say, it is something that you were including, you would read to audiences, and I assume that it touched people. It's something universal, and we all have mothers, and that is universal. And it is also, if we have lost them, it is to reflect on that, I would think would be very powerful as you're reading it.
Well, the mother root is one of the deepest. I don't think it ever goes away, for everybody. Whatever your relationship is, it's the primal relationship. We all emerge, no matter who we are, no matter what culture, no matter what standing, no matter what country, no matter what creature, too, we emerge from the mother field.
When you think of that, it almost seems, I know when I lost my mother that it was a grief to a depth that I had never felt before and just didn't understand why everybody doesn't just fall apart and talk about this all the time of how horrible that is. I think that doesn't even really maybe it depends sometimes on the relationship. But it's usually just a gutting experience.
Yeah, I think so. Even if even if they're old and we're suffering, and you still have to, and they and letting them go is a relief, for them. It's still, it's still, that's the mother. We deal with it the rest of our lives, with that loss. You're always kind of looking for them or expecting them to be there.
You talk in the poem about going back in memory, and is that an indigenous idea that where grief is experienced almost collectively?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a kind of a overall human, root human is that. I think what's particularly indigenous or Muskogee is there, like we're in a kind of timeless circle, more like a spiral. And in my experience, the way time, I guess memory encapsulates how time works, in which past, present, and even future are all in a kind of spiral. I mean, it's all present, it's all in the present, so to speak. I mean, if you recall a memory, then you're bringing it into the present, and then maybe you even change the memory, and when it goes back, it's invigorated or shifted in some way.
When you were looking at upon its completion, did you feel differently about this poem than you do about others?
Well, I don't know. I mean, every poem you feel different about. But a lot of the poems come in. I think my original impulses for writing have to do with healing and justice. And if you look at the themes, overall themes, and whatever I do, music too, it has to do with, there's always, it's about transforming, taking injustice and finding a way to transform or to shift the story, to shift the energy. And so this, of course, kind of follows that in a way. It's like, okay, we all have this grief and the mother grief. And how does my art, I would say, engage with that and shift it in some way? Because, as you know, the little tag, or I guess the subtitle, A Ceremony for Grief, came after. That wasn't originally part of the poem, but it was. As we were putting the book together with the publisher, they said, well, people need to know what the book is, washing my mother's body. And then it just came to me, A Ceremony for Grief, because I think of poems as being like rituals. You have the title of a poem, which, and it's like a song too. You have the title, and that will bring you it bring you into the bring you into the piece. If it doesn't, you're not going to read it or listen to it. And then the next thing, you have a first line, and that's like, okay, here, that line functions. There's the doorway, and that line has a function. Every line has to have a function. Every image all has a function towards where the poem wants to take you. And so in this one, it's like it sets out with an intent. I never got to wash my mother's body when she died. I return to take care of her in memory. That's how I make peace when things are left undone. I go back and open the door. So I literally step through that door. I step in. Now that works perfect with what I'm saying. I didn't plan that, by the way. I step in to make my ritual, to do what should have been done, what needs to be fixed so that my spirit can move on. Because, when we've left something undone, or we've said something and we want to make it right, or somebody, there's something that, it kind of nags us. It can nag at us. And that was, I realized, I mean, I was kind of listening as I was writing, that this had bothered me in a way, in profoundly, in a way that I had not expressed. Because I let it go, because I wanted, around her dying or her death, I didn't want that in the way. I didn't want any regrets. I didn't want that feeling I had in the way. I just wanted her send off to be clear and beautiful.
I was struck by something you just said about the ritual even in the writing of a poem, but they all have a ceremonial aspect to them then.
Right, so by the last line, it's like we've been on a journey. The best songs do that, you know, the best poems. They engage you and you're in the thick of it. And maybe there's every story has to have conflict. Maybe poetry, you know, there's something unresolved or something that needs, you know, that's compelling to keep you. To keep you involved in listening.
Given how personal poetry is, did you feel always ready and that it was a natural experience to share vulnerabilities, to share experiences and emotions that you've had in your life?
In a way, I think that maybe I just don't take them quite so personally. I just figure I'm one of many people and we all go through these things. I mean, I was writing about that. I have another book coming out in October called Girl Warrior, a coming of age handbook for young women with little stories. And I was talking about that in there about how when I was first writing, I didn't start writing until I was in my 20s, early 20s, and I was in a writing workshop, and I just thought we were all sitting in this circle, and everybody is we're sharing, and that was so why not? I mean, yeah, some pieces and some poets seem to write more personally, but I'm convinced everyone does, even if you're writing a fantasy novel poem or a political poem or something, it still goes back to that. A personal intent, which can be universal and so on, but there is you're personally invested. Like a lot, you know, it doesn't necessarily, this is why this was, you know, relative. The stories are relative to my mother, but it could be any mother, because if you could, you know, that could be a good assignment for someone if they're wanting to write, is think about someone who's passed. And there's something you want to say to them, or you miss them, then you can use this poem, you know, as a template. Say, okay, I never got to wash my mother's body when she died. You could say, I never got to speak that 57 chevy you wanted. I never got to give you, or I never got to ride in that, or you know. And then you just start. You can use this as a template. Where you go back into, I step into what, so that the children. So, what I do is I go into that morning. I mean, you could go into time, you could find an object like that white enamel pan that I wash her with in the poem. You know, it's, we can all do that in some way. The poem becomes also, it taught me something, and I think it can teach and help other people too. Help, you know, create their own, use this as a model or a template to write your own poem or a piece to assist you as you move forward in your life.
You talk about that sharing is very powerful.
Yeah.
That idea
Okay.
of sharing is very powerful.
It is, and that's important because everybody comes in with gifts and they're all different. And some are the same. Like my brother was really good with cars. I've got two brothers that are really good with cars, and that's they have gifts there. I have a brother. He's thinking about writing a book about all the cars he's had. You know, they're stories. He speaks that lingo. That's his poetic language, you know. And when you're given a gift, and we all come in with things to do that was part of the charge of that gift is one, you to develop it. It's important we develop those gifts or we wind up addicted or all kinds of stuff because sometimes we're told, well, you're not good at it or you're not a good person or you're not given, you know, the materials or the place and sometimes you have to fight to find that. But if you turn away from your gifts, they will haunt you. But we come in, we have our gifts, and the charge of that is to develop and then to share those gifts. And so sharing, which is performing it or reading it or giving the poem you wrote to somebody who needs it, that's all part of it. You know, that's part, I think, of the charge of those gifts that all of us have.
What do we lose when we don't have a poet laureate of the United States?
Oh man, that concerns me right now. Well, watching the deconstruction of funding for arts and cultures and necessities is the poet law. I came to understand the U.S. Poet Laureate position as a position of cultural lifting up culture. And what poetry offers, which is, a place of words when there are no words to accompany us when we're, as human beings, as a country, and I think of a country as a kind of person, and as human beings, as we walk this road together, and it doesn't matter party, this or that, we're walking it together, and we might as well talk with each other. And find a way to communicate with each other towards, taking care of each other. And the poet, I think of the poet as a witness. We speak to what's going on. We speak to I kind of think of it as soul talk. We speak to what matters. And every age has its themes, and poets in each particular age emerge carrying, developing and with those themes and working with them.
Joy Harjo's new book is Washing My Mother's Body, A Ceremony for Grief. It is published by 10 Speed Press. Joy, what how beautiful to speak with you. Thank you so much for being with us. It's been a great pleasure and delight.
Well, thank you too. Thank you.
Be well. Thank you so much. Again, Joy Harjo's new book is Washing My Mother's Body, A Ceremony for Grief, published by 10 Speed Press. Thanks to our producer, Sarah LaDuke. Write to us at book@wamc.org. The latest on national productions programs is available via the Airwaves newsletter at wamc.org and on social media at WAMC Radio. Bookmark us for next week. And thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.